Welcome, everybody, on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. It's such an honor to have you with us. There's a lot of things you could be doing today, and we just appreciate that you chose to join us to worship. And if I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Nick. I'm the lead pastor here. And today, we're finishing out a series that we've been calling Tales of the Kingdom, looking at the stories of Jesus. Before we do that, I just wanted to share real quick, I know they mentioned it at Calvary Connection, but next Sunday, we're going to be kicking off a new series called Stronger. I'm so pumped about this. We're going to be looking at some of the stories, men of the Bible that maybe some of you might be familiar with, maybe others not, but men that just showed incredible courage in the face of adversity. Next week, we're going to be talking about Jacob. The week after that, Daniel, then David and Abraham. And all men in the Old Testament that God did amazing things through, but they weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They worked for it, they sacrificed, and they had incredible faith. And I hope through these next 4 weeks, we're able to learn something from them. You know, maybe you've had people in your life that have influenced you, you've learned a lot from, maybe a parent or grandparent, a teacher, a coworker, a boss, and they just challenged you and inspired you. And I hope over this next month that we're able to be challenged and inspired by these men. They were real men. They're in the Bible, but they were real men, and they faced real issues. So we're going to be kicking that off next week. On your way out, we're going to have some invitation cards that you can grab to invite someone. And today, as we get started, I just want to share a quick story. How many of you like cars? Like muscle cars, sports cars, all of that, number of you. I love cars. One of my favorite things to do in this area is go to the car cruise every Saturday night at Norwin Hills. I don't know if any of you like going to that. It's a blast. When I was a little kid, well, teenager, I should say, that car cruise was at what is now Sam's Club Shopping Center, and I used to go to that as a high schooler, and it's neat to see how it's progressed and grown. It's this massive car cruise. I love it, and I want to share a quick story with you about some cars, and on Friday, September 2nd, 1994, this plan that had been in works for 10 years finally came to a reality, and the National Corvette Museum was opened. It was opened in Bowling Green, Kentucky, just a quarter of a mile from GM's Bowling Green assembly plant, where Corvettes have been made exclusively since 1981. Could you imagine walking through that? Over 115,000 square feet in this building, over 80 different Corvettes from every era, even Corvettes that were concept vehicles that have never been seen by the public are there. It's an incredible place. And you can walk through this place. It's been open since 1994. And on Wednesday, February 12th in 2014, almost 20 years after it was opened, just after 5:30 a.m., the motion detectors in the museum started to go off as the foundation under the museum's iconic sky dome started to cave. In a matter of minutes, many of the emergency personnel arrived on the scene, and as they walked into the museum, they discovered a sinkhole that was over 40 feet in diameter, close to 25 to 30 feet deep. In fact, we have a quick video of this if you want to watch. If this is too tragic, please turn away from the screen. We don't want anyone to have nightmares, okay? These are hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cars all going into a hole. So if you want to watch this video real quick, it's pretty tragic. We have that video ready. There it is. The cars look nice there. And here they come. I'd love to drive one of those. And this, there it goes. That is frightening. Took a little while to progress here. Well, maybe there it goes. Oh, yeah. Into that hole, 8 of the museum's prized Corvettes fell. I'm just going to list these. Some of you, this means absolutely nothing to you. Some of you are going to gasp. 1962 black Corvette. A 1984 PPG pace car from the Indy 500, a 1992 white Corvette that was the 1 millionth Corvette built on the assembly line, 1993 ruby red 40th anniversary Corvette, a 1993 ZR1 Spyder that was on loan from General Motors. It was a design study that was never actually built. A 2001 Mallet Hammer Z06 Corvette. 2009 white Corvette that was the 1.5 millionth Corvette built. And a 2009 ZR1 Blue Devil on loan from General Motors. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Little did the planners and builders of this museum know back in 1994 when they built this museum that beneath the surface were caves. The system of caves that are part of the Mammoth Cave System there in Kentucky. And little by little, over the span of decades, the caves were expanding and little by little chipping away at the foundation of this beautiful museum that housed hundreds of thousands of dollars of cars. And on February 13th, the weight of the structure became too much, weakened the foundation, and in a matter of only seconds, hundreds of thousands of dollars of automobiles were damaged. Completely damaged. Now, fortunately, they were able to recover the cars, restore the cars. Everything's okay. No one was hurt. It's all good. The cars are okay today. But it makes you really see the impact that a foundation can have, especially when something very valuable is resting upon it. And this isn't just a National Corvette Museum, but if you've ever been familiar with building a house or any kind of construction, you see the importance of a foundation. It's very important. In fact, oftentimes a foundation is of course, concrete, and it's poured all at once so that there are no cracks or imperfections, because the foundation is so very important. And all the money that will be spent on nice molding, on a beautiful kitchen, a flat screen TV, all of the stuff that you fill a house with, all of that is dependent on the foundation being able to withstand it. You think about how much money is put into having a nice garage or having nice whatever in a house. All of that's dependent on having a good foundation. And foundations aren't just important for our home, but it's important for our lives. With everything that we strive and endeavor to do in life, oftentimes we forget about the foundation of our lives. You know, this last week, many of you received the dream cards that we did about a month ago. And if you remember, a month ago, we had an opportunity in service to pray and to ask God, what is the dream you are giving to me? What are you asking me to hope for again? What is it? And we wrote those down on cards and have been praying about those. And you got those in the mail this past week. And you know, there are a lot of things that I believe God has in store. My hope is that those dreams become a reality for you. But as much as you want to dream, as much as you want to hope, as much as you want to aspire to something, if your foundation isn't solid, it's pointless. It's all for naught. You can have something incredibly brilliant, amazing, but if you don't have a solid foundation in your life, it all will come crashing down. And I want to share with you just a simple idea this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. And it's this idea, that the greatest way to waste your passion and potential is to ignore your potential, to ignore your foundation. The greatest way to waste your passion and potential is to ignore your foundation. And it's very easy sometimes. But the truth is, if your life isn't built on a solid foundation, if there's something beneath the surface that isn't solid from what others see, you're going to experience disaster. It's a setup for a cave-in. It's not going to go well. See, here's the reality in our lives. Some of you are incredibly talented people. You're incredibly talented. You're very articulate. Maybe you have a great education. You're good at what you do. Incredibly talented. God has gifted you in such a unique way. You might be one of the best employees in your workplace or in school, one of the best students in your school. And God has blessed you with such incredible talent, wisdom, favor. You're talented. Your bosses, your coworkers all can recognize it. All of that is great, but that's what everyone sees. What's beneath the surface, your foundation, if that's not solid, all of that talent, ability, and potential that's in your life could come crashing down in a moment, because you don't have a solid foundation. And the problem is with our lives is that oftentimes we don't think about our foundation because it's not what's visible. It's not what's evident. Much of our life is spent worrying about all this stuff on the surface, our looks, our weight, our stuff, our family, our finances, our grades, our job, and it goes on and on and on. We spend all of our time worrying about that stuff, but we forget about the foundation. See, what is all of that stuff ultimately resting upon? What is all of that stuff being held up by? If you were to peel back the layers of your life, what would you discover? What would you discover? What's your foundation? And as we finish out this series today, Tales of the Kingdom, there's this story that Jesus shares, a really powerful story about foundation, about what your life is resting upon. He shares this story talking about the value of having a strong foundation and how you go about doing that. And we're going to start off here in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 24 with this story that Jesus shares of this parable. And here's what he said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now notice he says wise here, not capable, talented, or wealthy. Wisdom is just simply acting on what you know to be true. Every human being has the potential to act on wisdom. You have the potential to act on wisdom. It's not about your talents. Not, you know, God, Jesus said, those that are talented, those that are capable, those that are good at certain things, they can build their house on a rock. No, anyone that's wise. And in this one sentence that Jesus shares, he sums up a process that probably took, that could have taken months or even over a year. Building a house. Think about this. If you've ever built a house or watched, a few weeks ago I had the opportunity to speak with some individuals from Habitat for Humanity, and they build homes for people who need it, who are underprivileged, who don't have the means to do so. And they do an incredible job, similar to what Through His Hands is doing. And as I was talking to them, there's so much detail that go into building a home. The framing and putting the roof on and putting all of the electrical and the plumbing and putting drywall up, finishing that drywall, putting the molding and the flooring and putting stuff in the kitchen and the bathrooms and making sure there's furniture and that everything is set, all of the HVAC. There's so much that goes in to building a home. And Jesus, in one sentence, sums it all up. And think about the process of building a home. You will think and go over every little detail, the colors of rooms and types of carpet and what tile you want on the walls in a bathroom and what countertops you want in the kitchen and whether or not you want, you know, this fridge or that fridge and you know how many ovens you want or microwaves or whatever it might be. And you think about all that detail. You want a one-car garage or a two-car garage, or you're blessed to have a five-car garage, whatever it might be. All of the detail that we think about with building a home, all of it is dependent on a foundation. Now, this man builds his house. Fortunately, he thinks through this, and with all of his effort, all the sacrifice, all the time that he put in, was resting on something that was dependable, on bedrock. And listen to what happens in the very next verse, verse 25. Jesus continues as he tells the story. He says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And in other words, everything that nature and the world could throw at the house, it was sent. From the winds, the streams, the floods, everything. And here was the result. It says, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Interesting. All of the efforts that this man put in to build his home, they were all well invested. Why? Because his house was resting on something that was dependable, on rock. Verse 26, Jesus now contrasts this with another individual. He said, but everyone who hears these words of mine, does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain, same rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. The man did the same thing the other did. He built the same house, the same garage, the same stuff. The problem was, all of the time that he put into building this home was all for naught. Why? Because his foundation was faulty. It's like the National Corvette Museum sitting on top of a cave. The foundation was faulty. When your foundation is faulty, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on the house. When your foundation is faulty, it doesn't matter how talented you are, all the great things that people say about you. It doesn't matter because your foundation is faulty. You're living on borrowed time when your foundation is faulty. You see, there are certain constants in all of our lives. There's good and bad. We're all going to experience those constants. We're going to experience both. There will be moments of joy, moments of sorrow. There will be times where things are going just as you had hoped, and there are times where nothing is going as it's planned. And through all of those changing seasons of life, how are you sustained? What is it that your life is resting upon? Ultimately, what is the foundation that your life is built upon? What is holding you up? For some, that might be your job, that you put security in your job. For some, it might be in a relationship. For others, it might be what people say about you. For some, it might be how much money is in your bank account. The truth is, though, that when we're talking about what your life is resting upon, what you put your security in, true security is trusting in anyone or anything that cannot be taken from you. I'll say that again. True security is trusting in anyone or anything that cannot be taken from you. Those things aren't bad things necessarily. It's not bad to have money in your bank account. It's not bad that people say nice things about you. It's not bad to have a good relationship or a good job. None of those, any of those things. But those things aren't meant to be a foundation. They can't withstand the weight of life because they're not meant to be a foundation. You know, you can put nice mahogany floors in your house. You can put nice oak trim in your house. All of those things are beautiful and nice, but none of those are meant to be a foundation. None of those are materials that are meant to be a foundation. For you, oftentimes for me, we put things in our foundation that aren't meant to be there. They're not able to withstand the weight of life. These two men, these two individuals that Jesus contrasts in this story, one built a beautiful house and he put something under it, bedrock, that could withstand the weight of life. The other one built a beautiful house in the same way, but he built his home on something that was unstable, sand. Incredible contrast of situations. But it's a reality check for us. What is our life built upon? And the question I have for you is this. What is your foundation? What is your life built upon today? See, building your life on a shaky foundation can be a recipe for disaster. And that disaster might happen quickly or it might chip away little by little by little. But before long, you're going to experience a collapse of everything valuable in your life if you're not careful. And there's a really powerful declaration today I want to share with you. I was reading this past week, and there's a prophet in the Old Testament. His name is Habakkuk. Can you say Habakkuk? It's just a fun word, fun name to say, Habakkuk. He wrote one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and Habakkuk makes this amazing declaration that gives us a glimpse into his foundation. And I believe it's a declaration that we can hold to. It's found in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17. Here's what he said. He said, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. This is depressing, isn't it? It's like, this is like a good country song. If you like country music, could you hear? I'm not singing it. And you don't want me to sing it. You could hear like Travis Tritt or Keith Urban singing this. All of that stuff. What's the next word? Can you say this with me? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Though all of that stuff isn't going well, yet I will still rejoice. What Habakkuk is talking about is he's realized that the inner peace that he holds on to is not dependent on outward prosperity. That the peace that we can have in God isn't dependent on the circumstances outside. A true foundation is not dependent on outside forces, but can stand alone regardless of the circumstances. When you have a solid foundation, it doesn't matter what storm is coming. It doesn't matter what's happening outside. You know that you're on solid ground and you're good. It doesn't matter if you've lost your job. It doesn't matter if your best friend has disowned you. It doesn't matter what happens. It's not easy, but you can withstand it because you have a solid foundation. This is what Jesus is getting at. Habakkuk is such a great example of this, that everything in Israel at this time wasn't necessarily going well. The crops weren't coming in. Things weren't happening as they had hoped or dreamed for. Their greatest dreams were not being realized in that moment. Yet I will rejoice in God. In your life, you might be at the top of your game. Your life is going well. Everything's going as you had planned. That's awesome. My question for you is, what about your foundation, though? Is your foundation solid? You might be here and you're walking through one of the darkest seasons of your life. You probably more than anyone else are aware of, is your foundation solid? Is your foundation solid? Are you resting on solid ground? And the rains can fall and the streams in our lives can rise. The winds can blow and beat against our life. And when it's built on something solid, when what is beneath the surface is stronger than what's above, you'll be able to stand strong. You're not going to be swayed by what the world throws at you. So the question I have, two questions for you today. One, what is your foundation? Ultimately, what is your foundation? The second is, how do you build that foundation? When we're talking about what is your foundation, we talked about a few things that you don't want to have your foundation built upon. Are things that can be taken from you. What is your foundation? What is your life built upon? Is your life to be built upon religion? No. Is your life to be built on people saying you're a good person? No, it doesn't work. Ultimately, there's only one foundation. There's only one thing that your life can rest upon. His name is Jesus. He is unchanging. When we allow our lives to be built on Christ, as scripture says, on Christ, which is this rock. When we allow our lives to be resting on him, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. It doesn't matter how difficult life gets. It doesn't matter how hard the winds are beating against you in life. You can withstand it. Is it easy? By no means. It's not like you just walk through life with this fake smile and everything that's bad, you just ignore and it brushes off your back. That's not true. But you're able to withstand it. Damage can sometimes be done in those moments, but you can withstand it. You'll survive it because God is beneath you. Your life is resting on solid rock. There's no better foundation to find yourself resting upon than Christ. And the second question is, how do you build that foundation? How do you establish that foundation? Jesus, in this parable, right at the beginning of it, gives us a pretty clear idea on how do we build a solid foundation. You know, for some of you, your parents, how do you build a foundation for your family? Your children are so impressionable. You have such an incredible opportunity to invest in them. Regardless of how old or young they are, you have an opportunity to invest in them as a parent. For some of you, it's as a grandparent. For others of you, it might be just in your own life. What foundation are you establishing? How do you establish that foundation? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus gives us a little bit of insight into that. Here's what he said. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So there's two components here. One, you have to hear the word of God. You have to hear the word of God. What does that mean? That means that you actually have to dust this thing off, this little Bible, and read it. Or maybe open it on your phone and read it every once in a while. You don't just carry this with you to church, or you don't just sit this on the shelf so when the pastor comes over, you can be like, look, I have a Bible. I have a Bible. You don't just pull this out when something tragic happens in your life. You actually read it. You have to hear the word of God. You actually have to read it. It's more than just Sunday morning or as part of a life group during the week. It's reading it for yourself. It's allowing the word of God to get in you, to listen. It doesn't mean you have to read an entire book of the Bible every time you sit down. It means that you read it. That you're allowing God to speak to you through his word. This Bible is alive and well. It's breathing. It's active. It's able to impact your life. Wouldn't you want to know that? That's more than just someone standing on a platform to talk to you about it every week. God wants to speak to you individually, but you have to let him. You have to open it up and read it, listen to it. The first part is you have to hear the word of God. This is what Jesus said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, you have to hear the word of God. Can I tell you, hearing the word of God is more than just listening to a sermon, whether it be on Sunday or on TV or on the radio or any of that. It's more than that. You have to be able to dive into God's word at your pace, to stop, to meditate sometimes, to think about it, to process it. You need to hear God's word. The second part is this. Once you've read the word of God, you've heard it, you actually have to put it into practice. There was a few groups of people in Jesus' time, in that first century, that were really good at reading the Bible. They were really good at hearing the word of God. They were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had the Bible, the Old Testament, memorized. They knew it backwards and forwards. They were really bad, though, at actually putting it into practice. In fact, they so worshiped the word of God, but they didn't actually apply it to their lives very often. It's one thing to hear the word of God. It's one thing to read it. It's a whole other thing to apply it. You know, it's not about doing this religious duty and just reading through it and saying, okay, I read my verses for today, or okay, I did my devotional, I'm done for today. No, if it's not changing your life, you're going too fast. Some of you, when you read God's word, you need to slow it down. You don't need to try to get through a whole chapter if only three verses is what you need in that day and what you can apply to your life. Read God's word, not just through a lens of understanding and trying to get it, but read it through the lens of how can I apply this to my life? There's two questions you can ask when you read God's word. What does this mean? And how can I apply it to my life? What does this mean? And how can I apply it to my life? If you can grasp those two things as you read God's word, what you do is you're able to change your life. God's word isn't meant to just be read. It's not just some religious book. It's meant to change our lives. That's why God has given it to us. So it's one thing to read God's word. It's an entirely different thing to apply it. And over this next few months, Memorial Day weekend is kind of the unofficial launch to the summer. And over these next few months, I want to challenge you with something. Here's my challenge. I want you to open God's word and try to read it every day. You know, I debated whether or not to give you guys like a reading plan through the Bible, and I decided not to because I don't want this to be something that you just check a box off. Because everyone reads at different paces, and everyone, God's doing something maybe different in your life. I want you to pick a book of the Bible this summer and read it. Not all at once. This isn't like college where you have to cram and Labor Day weekend in September, you're like, oh my goodness, I have to read through the book of Song of Solomon. That was my book. Don't pick Song of Solomon, by the way. That wouldn't be a good one to read. This isn't an idea of like, let's get through the book. This is allow God's word to get in you and apply it. What does this mean? How do I apply it to my life? What does this mean? How do I apply it to my life? If you don't know where to start, you don't know what book to read, here's two suggestions. Read the book of John. It's in the New Testament. Or the book of James, also in the New Testament. John is earlier in the New Testament. James is later in the New Testament. Pick one of those books. Start reading through it. Some of you might read a chapter a day. Awesome. Some of you, it might just be a few verses a day. That's okay. Start allowing the word of God to get in you. Why is that so important? Because your foundation is crucial. It's so very important. The greatest way to waste your passion and potential is to ignore your foundation. God has placed some big dreams in some of your hearts. You've been praying about them. You got the cards in the mail. Some of you, maybe this is your first time here, and God has some big plans for your life. God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And that's awesome to think about. It's awesome to dream about. It's encouraging. But if you want to waste all of that, ignore your foundation. Ignore it. If you want to see that stuff become a reality, take some time to focus on your foundation. Get into God's word. We talked last week about the importance of prayer. Maybe it's taking some time in prayer, and at the end of your prayer time, just open God's word and read a few verses. Pay attention to the foundation. And here's what's amazing about this story as the worship team comes today. Here's what's amazing. What Jesus is talking about here isn't just our lives. You know, Jesus shares this parable about, you know, building your life on a foundation that's solid so that when the storms come, that you can withstand them. You know, as we do that individually, Jesus is actually building something bigger and greater than just our house. He's actually building his house. We call it the church. That as we collectively are building a solid foundation, as we as a church build a solid foundation, we are able to build this incredible gathering, this incredible family, this incredible movement that we refer to as the church. It's a movement that when the foundation is solid, can withstand whatever storms our world or culture might throw at us because we have a solid foundation. You know, over this last month, we've talked about a number of different ideas. We've talked about the idea of welcoming home the prodigals, that the good we do for others is a gift, not an investment, that our mission isn't found in perfect balance, but in healthy rhythms. Last week, we talked about that prayer isn't about being pretty or perfect, but about pursuing God. These are great things. And it's as we lay a foundation, as we are willing to build a foundation, that the church of Jesus Christ can be what he intended it to be. The church is not meant to be this tattered, torn, beat up building. I'm not saying physically. Spiritually, we're not called to be this sad state of a gathering. We're called to be this strong, vibrant, living, breathing group of people that are changing the world. And if we're going to do that, we have to have a solid foundation. When the storms come, when the winds beat against the house, when the culture changes and shifts, we are called to be those that are sitting on such a strong foundation that others can come and know that house will withstand it. That house will withstand the storms because that house is built solid bedrock. That house is built on a solid foundation. That's what God has called us to. That's how we're able to welcome the prodigals. That's how we're able to do good to those that need it most. That's how we're able to recognize when we're to go and reach the one and when we're called to care for the 99. That's when we are able to pursue God with abandon. That's what God has called us to do. And it starts with building a solid foundation. God wants us to have a foundation that lasts, not just as momentary. Your walk with Jesus isn't some flash in the pan moment decision. It's a journey of faith that you can go on the rest of your life. And it starts as you get into God's word. You read his word. I challenge you this summer, pick a book of the Bible and ask yourself every day, what does this mean and how does it apply to my life? What does this mean? How does it apply to my life? If you don't know what it means, ask someone. Ask one of our pastors. Post it on a Calvary Classifieds, on our Facebook page. Whatever it is, ask someone. And then ask yourself, how can I apply this to my life? Can we pray this morning? Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this incredible day you've blessed us with. Lord, I thank you for your word. That your word is alive and breathing, Lord. That your word isn't some dead old document. But God, you are still speaking to us. Still clearly, 2,000 years later, about how it can impact us and challenge us. And I pray that you would challenge people who are here today, Lord, to dive into your word, to open your word, to see what it means for our lives. As you're continuing to pray this morning, maybe you're here and you say, Nick, my life is not built on a solid foundation. I've been trying to go it on my own. I've been trying everything else from relationships to my job, to my bank account, to my stuff, and nothing has worked. Everything seems to collapse. You're here and you'd say, Nick, my life isn't built on something solid. Today is an incredible day, this Memorial Day weekend, to build your life on a solid foundation. His name is Jesus. And if you're here and you've never taken the step to follow Jesus, you've never taken the step to experience his forgiveness, the sacrifice that he made for our good, for our future, you've never taken the step to live for his purposes. If that's you this morning, in a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you to reach your hand toward heaven to say, today I'm ready to follow Jesus. Today, I want my life to be resting on him. Today, I want to experience his forgiveness. I want to experience the fullness of his purpose for my life. If that's you today, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to reach your hand toward heaven. One, two, that's you. Get ready. This could be one of the greatest Memorial Day weekends of your life. Three. So reach your hand toward heaven this morning. Put your hands down this morning. I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with you. This is just a conversation with God. It's not any magic formula or anything like that. And I ask all of you to pray this prayer. And my hope is this would be the first of many conversations you have with God. Would you pray this prayer with me, everyone together? Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for establishing such a strong foundation that I can build my life upon. Today, I accept your forgiveness. I commit to live for your purposes. That no matter what I face, I can stand strong. Give me the strength and courage to follow you all the days of my life. To show your love to the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Would you stand with me today?